Good morning, everybody. It's great to be here as always. I really enjoy getting to come and spend some time with you and to worship with you guys. It's really a pleasure. This week was really taxing for me. Dylan and I both were in a class at Ozark this whole week where it was 8 hours a day in a single classroom, and we studied Old Testament poetry. So you can imagine how much sleep I wish I would have gotten rather than listening to some of those lectures. But all in all, it was really good. And so this week, we're going to continue with our series on this running language that was used in Hebrews 12. We explored this last week and what running a race in a biblical perspective would look like for us in our lives. Now, if we recall in that message, some of the takeaways were that we should run the race with perseverance. It's going to be a marathon and not a sprint, so we need to persevere as we're running, and that's something that will occur as long as we do that with the Lord. And also that we need to run it together. Often community will help us get through some of the tough events in our life and help us to run this race in a more effective way. So as I was preparing my thoughts this week to pray, and it's funny because a lot of people think a preacher will just kind of see something and it'll come to them, and they might find a nice place and to write. Like, I have friends that go out and sit at the creek and write a sermon. And me, I'm just a boring guy. I go sit in a coffee shop somewhere, pour me a nice big cup of coffee, put my computer down, and just sit for about 2 or 3 hours and write and think and explore. And so as I was kind of thinking about what last week occurred and what I wanted to preach on this week, a thought came to me. Well, more so a question than a thought. But this thought is like, once you commit to running the race, what's next? So I've committed to running this race. I've committed to following Jesus. What are the next steps so that way I can actually run this race in an effective way? And so today I want to take a look at what the commitment of running a race for Christ looks like. What does that actually look like in our lives? So our scripture for today, if you want to turn, I'll give you guys some time, is going to be Isaiah 41:10. I like this scripture. It really just kind of honed in on where I feel like this sermon should go. And so it starts with, it says, "Do not fear, for I am with you. Do not anxiously look about you, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Surely I will help you. Surely I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." And so, like, I was looking at scripture to try to, like, think about, hey, what's a good scripture for commitment? And bam, this one pops up. And I like this command right from the beginning. He says, "Do not fear, for I am with you." Now, me being a Bible college student and kind of a Bible nerd, I guess you would say, I love to look at certain places in the text and figure out where else it's used in the Bible and how can that help us better understand a text. And so we see this same phrase, "Do not fear, for I am with you," in 1 Chronicles 28:20, and it's when David's talking to Solomon about the temple. And he says, "Be strong and courageous and act. Do not fear nor be dismayed, for the Lord God, my God, is with you." So, and then he goes on to say later in that same text, he says, "He will not fail you nor forsake you until all of the work for the service of the house of the Lord is finished." Now, I don't know if this text is necessarily, it's kind of loosely, you could put these two together, but you know, it's David encouraging Solomon to run the race, to finish building this temple for the Lord. And I think this warrants a question. How many times do we decide not to do something because we are scared of the possible outcomes, yet we fail to realize that the Lord is with us, providing the strength to finish the task at hand? I was thinking about this, and a story really that kind of ties to this first point is, for me anyway, was, I don't know about many of you, this is kind of a farming community, but I used to chew tobacco, and that was something that a lot of farming people that I know did, a lot of farmers, a lot of landscapers, and so I did this for many years throughout my time in the military, and when I came to Ozark, I decided, you know, hey, I'm done with this, I'm going to quit. And so ultimately, I was pretty scared. I was scared of what it was going to do to my body, you know, something that I had been addicted to for 10-plus years, and I didn't know how to go about it. I didn't know how to do it. And so I get to Ozark. I'm still haven't quit yet. And then all of a sudden, Dylan moves in with me. He's my roommate. And he's like, hey, man, I'm going to help you. I'm going to push you to do this. And so through some prayer, some time just to reflect, and the help of Jolly Ranchers, I was able to quit chewing tobacco. So I just want to say that as a church, we need to stop being scared to, like, confront someone over something going on, or just being, like, scared to even cross the road, because God is with us. It reminds me of when I was a kid, and I'm sure we all have this story. When you go to cross the road, what does your parents do? Oh, they hold their hand out. Hold my hand as we cross the road. Just because that's a sense of comfort for you and them. There's a sense of safety there. I wonder how many times is God sticking his hand out and saying, cross the road with me, but yet we're pulling our hand back and saying, oh no, I can do it on my own. I think that we need to reevaluate times in our lives and be that little kid again, instead of trying to be the adult and saying, you know what, I'm going to hold my hand out and cross the road with you. Next, I think in this text, there's a call to commitment. It says, do not anxiously look about you, for I am your God. Now, naturally, this is not an easy subject for me to talk about, because I'm just not an anxious person. I'm kind of a go-with-the-flow kind of guy. So I just kind of stroll about life and take things as they come. And so it's kind of hard for me to talk about it because I haven't really experienced it. But I think it's a pretty clear call here that we need to commit to God instead of looking for the world for what we desire. If we look at constantly or looking at culture or the things of the world to satisfy us, we will be perpetually angsty, as we will never get the fulfillment we desire. And I think that this was a really cool, as I was preparing for this, I was thinking about my own story of how I came to Ozark and what led me to ministry. And it's pretty crazy. Like, I joined the Army out of high school, and I didn't want to do ministry, but I had, like, toured Ozark before I joined the Army, and decided, you know, hey, you know, I'm going to do this Army thing. And yet, 10 years after I toured Ozark, I'm back there full-time as a ministry student. I'm actually pursuing the call that God had placed on my life 10 years earlier. And yet, I think that this passage, like, really speaks to me, because I've pursued the things that God didn't call me to do. I went to the military, and, you know, maybe there was a little bit of him calling me there to be able to minister to those people afterwards, or maybe that's just a product of circumstance of me doing that, and now I'm able to use it. But I think that was a real release of anxiousness in my life. There was a lot of anxiousness after I separated from the military, trying to figure out what I want to do with my life. And ultimately, I feel really at home now that I'm at Ozark, now that I'm pursuing what God has called me to do, where God has put me for my life. So I think that's a way we can relieve our anxiousness from committing to where God has called us. And so that should be another area of focus in our time to look at Him. And I think once we commit to the action of running the race, we have to prepare. This is like the most important part to me. If you hear nothing else, please hear this. Now, there's a couple of points to this. The training will not be easy. But my dad always told me, a little hard work never hurt anyone. And so that's something, a motto that I've lived my life by, just imagining, you know, whatever you're going through, it could be 10 times worse for somebody else, or somebody else doesn't have the opportunity. And so the work is worth the effort. And this text provides us hope here with a promise from God. He says, I will strengthen you, surely I will help you. I think this help comes as we commit deeper in our relationship with God. Much like our running times will get better, the more we practice running, the more we commit to the task at hand or the job that we're doing, the better we can get. I'm sure Sheldon can tell you the first time he hopped on a D7, he probably couldn't cut a grade worth a hack. And it was the same thing for me. And the more I practiced, the better I got, the more. And it was amazing. The first time I got into D7, I was scared to do anything. And then the last time I was in one, it was like, oh, I don't even need to think about what I'm doing. I just do it. And so I think that our lives need to reflect that in our relationship with God. Now, there are several ways for us to prepare in this area. And obviously, one of them is prayer time. And I think that we can be more dedicated in our prayer time, more thoughtful in our prayer time. This is something that professors at Ozark have really embarked in me and really helped me grow in an area, is prayer. And I think that as we pray and become more in an intimate relationship with God, we will grow. And that's one area of growth. But I think also discipleship is another critical area here. Now, I think, or at least personally for me, I've had a chance to disciple some people, and I think I grow almost as much as they do. As you're teaching someone about the Lord, you're learning new insights. In fact, this whole week was pretty amazing in school because we dove through Hebrew poetry. And we have this professor that's teaching us about the nuances of Hebrew poetry, and we're walking through Job, and he's been teaching this class for 6 years, and yet so a student would raise their hand, bring up a point, and he would be like, huh, I never thought about that. So he was learning more, and he said that was one of the biggest rewards of teaching that class. He learned something new every year, just getting new insights from a different student and learning something new in that area. So I think our desire to continue to want to grow and want to learn is critical. But yet, we also see that reading the Word of God is important too. We need to remember to read the book and see the Bible as more than just a book. See it as the living Word of God. It's sharper than any double-edged sword. We know the Scripture quotes. We know we can recite those. But words without action are just words. If we're not willing to live out the words, then we're not doing our part to run this marathon with God. Like, He's holding His hand out, and we're just pulling our hand away. Like, oh no, we can do this on our own. And that's not right. And I think also we see another area that would help us grow is service. So going out and helping other people, I think, something that's really been good for me is just when I'm at home, I'll go visit with some older folks or go and rake. When I was at home for Christmas, I went and raked a couple of older folks from the church's yards for them. Or in the summer, if I'm home, I'll go and cut their grass. And some of the most meaningful conversations come from an experience like that. Them pulling me inside, hey, let's have a cup of lemonade and just chat. And getting to hear stories from their childhood and those relationships. Though they're here on earth, they also are an example of what God can look like in another person, and it's just a great way to help you grow. And I think lastly, in this area, meditation is something that can really, really help. This was something that I really never focused on until recently, and through some time at Ozark and some teachings and just bringing this into my life, I feel like my spirituality has grown a lot, and it's really beneficial for me. And lastly, I think this text ends with a promise. God promises by saying, "I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." Now, I would be remiss as a Bible college student to not point out the significance of the right hand language in Scripture. It's a position of power. In fact, we see this throughout Scripture, and Jesus ascended to sit at the right hand of the throne of God. This right hand is a position, is the most highest position besides the position of God. So I think, like, isn't it such a good thing that we serve a God that no matter how broken or messed up we are, He's prepared us a place, and or prepared a place for us in the most intimate of places. That, like, no matter how many times He's holding His hand out, and we pull our hand back, He says, "No, Jesus has already died for you. I prepared a place at my right hand." The same place that Jesus ascended to sit, He's calling us to that same place because of the sacrifice that Jesus made. And so, as I was like trying to figure out an illustration, because that's a big deal, right, in the sermon prep world, I was thinking about how 2 years ago I didn't have any idea how to even run a lawnmower, and as I grew in the company and the job that I worked for, I ended up becoming a supervisor there. So through lots of studying and hard work and dedication and learning how to mow the fancy straight lines and putting diamonds and stuff, and dedication of 2 years and studying and asking questions, I ended up becoming like the boss. And that wasn't possible without those things. And I think that if we want to grow closer in a relationship and move up the so to say ladder, like, not that we're climbing a ladder of faith, but if we want to grow closer in a relationship with God, we have to be willing to do those things. We have to be willing to study and spend time and grow and commit. And so I think, in conclusion, if we're truly committed, we shouldn't fear the outcomes of what happens. Like, if we're going to be committed to this God, committed to God, committed to our relationship, we shouldn't care about what others think around us, what's going to go on in our life. Maybe it's something, I've heard crazy stories of people, like, even finding out that a business that they like there was something going on there that wasn't Christian, and so they stopped going to that business. They severed that relationship to be able to grow their faith, and yet that's an action that we should be willing to do if we're truly committed to the relationship that we have with God. And once we commit, I think there's also a call we have to conduct our lives in a way that honors God. If we're committed, then we have to go about our lives to show that commitment. There's a phrase that one of my professors says that really just drives home this point, and he says, "Words without actions are just words." So if we're going to commit to God, we have to put forth the actions to show that commitment, or else we're just speaking some words. It's no different than going out and saying something else. And so I think we also need to remember that we're promised a place that's so special through our relationship with God and the sacrifice of His Son. So lastly, I think, like, through this promise, we have to remember, as we're committed to the race, the reward that's going to come at the end of the race. Now, we'll dive into that in a couple of weeks. We're going to get to that. But there's promise there for us to remember as we continue on this race, we continue on this journey. I'd like to close today in prayer. Father God, I just thank you for bringing us together and to helping us to see that our relationship will grow with you as we spend more time in your word and dedicate our lives more to you. And I thank you for revealing to us through your scripture that we just need to seek you, and that for the sacrifice that your son made that will allow us to someday sit at your right hand. We're just grateful for the time that we have to spend together today, and we hope that our weeks can all grow us in our faith, and that we can continue to honor you this week as we go about. It's in your name we pray. Amen.